human and moves like a human, but in essence, it isn't. There is always something foreign about the god's appearance that warns the human psyche that they are not what we are. They are predators, masquerading as their prey. It's sickening. A predator should simply be a predator. I'd respect them more if they didn't pretend to be compassionate, or even simply what they're not. Mortal. Despite their hopes and imitations, their divinity still makes it all too easy to differentiate them from the humans that surround them. The only times I've ever truly had an issue with differentiating a divine being from the non-divine is when they're a mortal god. Mortal gods are not common in the countryside, though. If they choose to leave the god cities at all, then they have connections. But usually they only do so at the behest of their masters. The precious dogs of the divine beings, happily ignoring the singular half of themselves that makes them not gods at all, but mortal gods, if it means they live in the lap of luxury and freedom. I've thankfully only ever come across one in my life, and it's an experience I am all too happy to avoid repeating. My ability to differentiate the divine from the ordinary is a silly little game I've played for years to hone my skills. Ophelia used it as a teaching method to instruct her apprentices how to pick out targets from a crowd and follow them. Now, however, I find myself playing it from the shadowed corner of the Black Hat Tavern as a method to keep myself from disintegrating out of sheer boredom into the uncomfortable wooden chair I've been stationed in for the last 2 hours. Patience is a virtue I do not possess. Ironic, considering my profession. The game does little for me now but pass the time. Out here in the countryside, there are few gods to pick out in the crowd of people who have gathered to get out of the downpour or to drink and forget their woes. Most divine beings prefer their god cities to the mortal villages outside of their gilded castles. A few, on occasion, make their way out here, probably out of boredom or curiosity. Most are lower gods, gods of less powerful origins, but still divine nonetheless. I scan the room once more and find two in the vicinity. Like telling a donkey from a horse, Ophelia had once said. Though both may be farm animals, one is clearly superior to the other. Taller, broader, more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that the gods are the horses and humans are the donkeys in her analogy. Uncanny. That's what I think of the divine beings who disguise themselves. Disturbing. Though they come in all heights and sizes and colors, like humans, the primary difference that distinguishes them from their mortal counterparts is their beauty, the effect of their divinity. They shine internally. Their skin never ages. Their eyes are never dulled by disease or flaw. Their hair never loses its luster. They are as they have always been since the dawn of time. Perfection personified. At least on the outside. It's wrong. Against nature. I pinpoint the two lower gods in the room, and indeed, they're attempting to hide their divinity. Though they've managed to shield it from the commoners here, their unblemished skin and clear eyes are a dead giveaway for me. It's no surprise to find that when entering these types of places, unless they're preceded by a posse of their godly acquaintances, most divine beings choose invisibility over audaciousness. It's easier for gods to pass through these parts when they mask themselves. Easier for everyone. Still, I always spot them. And if they were my targets, they'd be dead in an instant for revealing themselves so recklessly. Lucky for them, I've got no current orders to attack. And even if I detest their existence, I don't plan to give myself more work than I have to.